And now for our Mother's Day message this morning, Nick, come on up. Say welcome, Nick.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Well, I've got some good news for you. Today, we are extending our honoring of not just women who have raised other human beings, but actually, we're celebrating all women. Woo! Because the reality is that whether you are 6 or 86, whether you've ever given birth or not, the Lord has created our women, wombed men, women, for a purpose. And it's something really special that we're going to honor and celebrate today as we learn more about Him. So, let's pray. Lord, we ask that You would show us places about who You are and who we are that we've never seen before. We ask You to surprise us today, to bless us, and to blow us away. In Jesus' name, amen. Why God made wombed man. I made that up. So, Genesis 2, 18 through 25, then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now, out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to all the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. While he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man said, "This, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So today we want to talk about truths of our identity, and also the lies that we fight against. I say we as if I'm a woman. I have a ton of really close friendships and mothers in the faith and sisters in the faith that are in my life. And so I've been listening to the kinds of things, hopefully I'll represent you well today, things that women hear or struggle with. Point number one on your paper. If you didn't realize this already, day 6, at the end of the day, God made woman as the crown of all creation. And so that voice inside your head, whether it's human or hellish or comes from other people in your life, that voice that says you're too much or not enough is wrong. God made woman as the crown of all creation. In Genesis 2:18, for the first time, the Lord God says, "It is not good that the man should be alone." If we look at this word for good, this Hebrew word means pleasing, joyful, beneficial, pleasant, favorable, happy, right. So you say it's not good for mankind to be alone. It's not pleasing for mankind to be alone. It's not joyful for mankind to be alone. It's not beneficial for mankind to be alone. It's not pleasant. It's not favorable for mankind to be alone. It's not happy for mankind to be alone. It's not right for mankind to be alone. And so remember, up until this point, everything God had said, everything He'd made, He created, He said it's good. Day one, He created light and darkness. He said it's good. Then He took the waters on the earth, separated them from the waters of the sky, and He said it's good. Then He separated the masses of land and took apart this Pangaea and pushed mountains and cliffs and valleys and islands into their places. And He said, it's good. And He made fish and whales and sharks to teem in the seas and birds of the air. And then He said, you know what? It's good. And then He created livestock and vegetation and every forest, and every rainforest and every valley and every pretty view. And He said, oh, it's good. And then He made man, and man spent some time with all of this creation. And for the first time, God said, it's not good that man should be alone. We will make a helper suitable for him. In the Hebrew word, this word, God's talking to himself. You know, we know this triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we would be mistaken if we think of God like a man, though we use a pronoun he when describing him. We're going to find out today, it says that he created them male and female. And so when we look at Adam, it wasn't just that he needed company, right? Because he spent some time hanging out with, you know, the animals. Remember people say a dog is a man's best friend? Listen, ladies, when we're really salty, when we're mad about something you told us last week, we're like, this dog's my best friend. Trust me, a dog ain't our best friend. Some of them are really sweet. Some of them are great companions. I have a friend who grew up with horses, you know, brushing horses, riding horses is a beautiful, you know, companionship. I have friends, my beautiful friends, Chad and Melissa, have 32 cats. No, I'm just kidding. I think they only have 8 cats. You know, cuddling with a cat in the quiet is a beautiful thing, reading a book in the rain. But all of those things, even our communion as humans with nature, I love to go hiking, I love to see the sunset or the sunrise, and then even Adam's communion with God was not enough. Something was missing. And something was you. Ladies, the feminine, the female. So inside this word for it's not good for man to be alone, this word for alone talks about separation. So this message isn't just about Adam or just about men, but as people, it's not good for us to be separated. It's not good for us to live a life outside of community, right? We need each other. We need this companionship. So inside that word is a subtle reference to being divided. It's not good for us to be divided. It's not good for us to be separated. It's not good for us to be alone. So if it's not good, what's the opposite of alone? Together. What's the opposite of separated? Accompanied. What's the opposite of being in part? Whole. You've heard people say it. It's in our books. It's in our movies. You know, a man or woman says, something's missing in my life. And some really wonderful psychology today says that you shouldn't believe that anymore. You know, that you shouldn't believe that you're missing something, that you should make yourself a whole individual. I think that's true. I think there's room for us to become whole as people with God and not think, you know, if I just had a man or if I just had a woman, everything would be fine. Yeah, it's probably not going to all be fine when you have a man or a woman. Probably going to still go through some stuff. You're probably going to need to figure out who you are apart from them. You're probably still going to have to figure out who you are with God. There's going to be times that they let you down. Maybe they leave you. Maybe they betray you. So individuality is important, but it's not everything. It's interesting. Mankind wasn't whole yet. The entire universe inside God's mind. You know, it's interesting. If you think about womankind, how womankind actually holds together a society. You ever thought about that? Their thinking, their relationships, their connections. Women hold us together. If you wonder, if you challenge in your mind, if you have a thought thinking, is that true? The nations of the world recently met together, and they signed a legal agreement saying that when there is a area under conflict, when soldiers come in and rape a woman, it is an act of war. They have stated that they've realized now it's intentional, it's purposeful, that the fabric of that society be torn apart by the trauma of rape, of abuse. And so we're going to hold men around the world accountable now. This is awesome. For these acts of war. Maybe they're busy the rest of the day shooting all these other people, but what they did last night was an act of war, and people will be held responsible for it into perpetuity. Praise God. So you look at how an enemy comes to try to destroy something. Well, surely that is, of course, a confirmation of its purpose. The fabric that holds us together, that keeps a society. No wonder. No wonder it's under assault, right? It's interesting. Praise God for this revelation. In addition to how women hold the world together through their bonds, through their bodies, through their words and their strength, one must also understand that just the simple understanding of English of this verse, it's not good for mankind to be alone, is true. You know, if you're a woman, you need friends. You need community. You may or may not have a life partner every day of your life. There's times that we're single. There's times that we're married. Maybe both. So it's good. It is good. The opposite must be true. It is good for humankind to be in community and relationship. It is pleasing for humankind to be in community and relationship. It is joyful for humankind to be in community and relationship. It's pleasant. It is beneficial. It is favorable. It is happy. I'm not going to stop preaching on this. It is right for humankind to be in community and relationship. I promise you, when you learn about these shooters in churches and in bars and in schools, every single one of them has something in common. They live a life of being singled out, of feeling other, of feeling rejected, of feeling hatred in their hearts. They have a community. It's usually online with other people who feel similarly, but there's no one in their life, there's no one that they feel this kinship with, that they're loved by and held accountable by and sharing their ideas with and being validated by and being made better. It's heartbreaking. We can stop that by reaching out. We can stop that by saying, hey, are you okay? We can stop that by showing love to people we don't know, that we don't think are like us, that we can say, I love you. Can I get to know you? You want to go to lunch? Let's hang out. Tell me who you are. But if we thought this verse is only talking about companionship, we'd be wrong. You know me. I love understanding what the deeper meaning and value is of a verse. The Bible wasn't written in English. If you're a visitor today and you've never heard me speak before, newsflash, the Bible was written first half in Hebrew, second half in Greek. And so if we thought this was just about companionship, if we thought this was just about marriage, if we just thought this was about male and female, we'd be incredibly mistaken. Because point number two is, the Hebrew words here, ezer kenido, God made woman to be a life-saving equal. Not arm candy, not a subservient helper. I've received permission from Pastor Roger and Heather to speak on the next 90 minutes about point number two. Thank you, Jesus. God made woman to be a life-saving equal. It's in the Bible. It's in the Hebrew. I'm going to tell you about it today. When you tell a person all you're good for is to make me look better, you're arm candy. I have women painting their faces. I have women mutilating their bodies in this society. I have women doing insane things, stopping their eating, because they're trying to be something. They think their value is in their beauty. Ladies, when we lie to you and tell you this as a society, as fathers, as brothers, as friends, we need your half of this equation to reject these lies. If you've ever believed that your job in our society is to be beautiful, now, I love her beauty. This is my sister in Christ. When I met my wife said, well, I'm an only child, but I have an older sister by adoption. Her name is Laurie. Laurie's beauty does not seduce me. It does not make me feel unsafe. It doesn't make me feel weird. I feel loved by her. I feel upheld by her. I feel safe around her. I feel invited in, okay? Her beauty is a total blessing to my life, but it's not why she was made. And so then we have this patriarchal society that's screwing up the men, getting them all freaked out, screwing up the women, getting them all to reject and rebel, because we didn't understand identity. It's not about being subservient, helper, either. What, Nick? Bible says, God made a helper suitable. Well, guess what? Some dude wrote that in English, and it ain't what God said. Ezer kenido means life-saving equal. The only time that the Bible ever uses ezer, ever again, is to describe the living Yahweh God coming to Israel's rescue, smashing out their enemies, saving their butt, surrounding them and protecting them, and they are literally considered inferior to their Ezer. The living God, I wrote the three verses on your page that you can go home and look up. The living God who comes to their rescue. Ezer, in Exodus 18:4, the living God who crushed out Pharaoh, who freed them and delivered them from slavery and generations upon generations of death and bondage. That's the living God called Ezer. Wow. Oh, helper suitable. No thanks. It ain't true. In fact, in Deuteronomy 33, this God of help, you know, this Ezer, says there's no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides the heavens to your help, who fights against your adversaries, your worst enemies. Then it continues, blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help, your Ezer, and the sword of your majesty. Israel was special because they had the living God on their side. You ever say me and God is the majority? Like, don't come mess with me, man. The living God is on our side. He is your Ezer. I was so focused on getting this right. I was so sincere about not exaggerating this point to you that I wrote an email to Life Pacific College, and I asked their Hebrew professor, Professor Magalanes, forgive me if you're listening. Professor Magalanes, I said to this professor, am I correct in understanding? This person told me that the word only references God as superior to mankind needing God and getting their tushy saved by God, an inferior party being saved by a superior party, that just to soften things for us men, just so we wouldn't spend 6,000 years like they have thinking we're inferior, just to soften the word, the Lord added kenedo afterwards, an adjective afterwards. So this life-saving equal, kenedo, meaning comparable, mirror image, opposite. Okay? Just so we wouldn't have to be the ones to struggle this whole time thinking, oh man, these lifesavers, we're just a bunch of trash, you know? Gosh, if I could have just been born a woman, you know? Things would have been so much easier. These Ezers, they're amazing. That's how powerful that word is. That God had to soften it by using kenedo afterwards, by saying, life-saving equal, life-saving comparable, mere image. By the way, ladies, I double-checked myself. I double-checked the word of God to make sure I could say this idea that we're not subservient, because part of being opposite in that word is the idea of being opposed. Just like our government has three branches, just like they're supposed to keep each other in checks and balances, the living God said, you know what? I need male and female. I need us to keep each other in checks and balances. If you've been a part of a marriage or a household where the man threw down his fist and said, this is the way, guess what? It was wrong. It was wrong. I'm sorry. There's men who've been injured by that. There's women who've been injured by that. It screwed up our identities. It screwed up everything about how we think of each other and God. And I'm here to tell you, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Because I love my wife when she looks at me and says, you're wrong. You're wrong. I need you to go talk to Titus. Here's why that was wrong, honey. And I go, oh, I'm not perfect. I'm trying my best every day. I got work. You know, I got kids. I got finances and stuff to worry about. You know, my neighbors told me yesterday, oh, they're pregnant with their first child. They said, oh, man, you know, we're just hoping we can be as relaxed as you. I said, what? I said, you can't hear me screaming at Titus? They looked at me like, they were like horrified. They're like, no. I was like, oh, man. I was like, well, I'll teach you how to do it. You go, Titus! They're like, oh, my God, what's wrong with our neighbor? I was like, oh, man, I shouldn't have told him that. I'm being real. I have this beautiful woman who opposes me and supports me by saying, yes, that sounds great, or by saying, no way, dude. Go tell your son you're sorry. I need that. I need that. It's interesting, if you ever want to see what insecurity looks like, it's when we throw down our fist. See, instead of having power over someone, the Bible talks about having power with. When I have your buy-in, when she says I'll follow you into war, I'll go anywhere with you because of my character and our relationship before God and being faithful, right? Now you have power with someone. Anytime you need power over someone, it's abuse. It's abuse in a marriage. It's abuse in a country. It's abuse in a relationship. You don't need power over someone. We want to create power with. Thank you, Jesus. Life-saving equals. By the way, Professor Magdalene's, her first name is Sophia. I needed a woman to help me understand the depth. A Hebrew scholar, the PhD in studying this language, I needed to make sure I was not getting off track here. She helped me understand. This is something that's happening now in books. It's happening in preachers across the country. It's happening in Bible schools everywhere. People are going, oh, helper suitable. What kind of translation is that? We need to understand the depth and beauty of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let's raise our hands. Say, I commit to better understanding the beautiful role women have. Amen. That's a lot of power up here. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, point number three. God made woman to complete the picture of who he is. You are not second class, less than, or an afterthought. God made woman to complete the picture of who he is. You're not second class, less than, or an afterthought. I'll tell you how I know that. Genesis 1, 27 says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Notice it doesn't say, in the image of God, he created them, male, he created them. And then he added females. Ariana Grande tells you God is a woman, and I'm here to tell you God ain't a man. He and she is inside of who God is. You can call him Father. You can speak of him in that beautiful way. But it ain't like your dad. I don't care how good your dad was. Shoot. Best dad in the world recently scored 0% compared to God. They did a poll. They asked God. They said, how do you feel about best dad in the world without your grace and your blood, Lord Jesus, and without your record? How is the best dad in the world compared to Father God? 0%. I think there's a website. You can go look it up. So here's the thing. Genesis 2, so he talks about day 1 in Genesis 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7, God rested. And then the rest of chapter 2 expands this verse I wrote on your page, God making male and female, and explains how that went down because it was more than a paragraph. And so they went back to explain it in depth. You know what's cool? Good science and right understanding of the Bible always prove each other right. If you were here in December, you learned that the DNA needed to clone another human being is found in bone marrow. And if you were here in December, you heard that the bone marrow is most dense in the ribs of your body. So all God needed to do was take out a rib. He told them about this 6,000 years before they knew what bone marrow was, before they knew what DNA was, before they knew they could clone each other. It's good science. There was a myth going around for a long time. Men have less ribs than women, and it proves the Bible right. Wrong. If I cut off my index finger, and then Emmy and I get pregnant, do you think my children are going to be missing index fingers? No. Thank God they're all going to have 10 fingers and 10 toes. So just because God took a rib out of Adam, his sons were born with the same 12 pair of ribs that the women have. So that wives' tale, that myth, that folklore is gone. It's not true. We don't need to believe it as Christians. It never says it in the Bible. It says Adam was missing one. You go find Adam's bones, and I'll tell you, there's going to be one missing. How do we find Adam's bones? Just be like, see? So, good science. Well, here's the thing. I have inside of me an X chromosome, and I have inside of me a Y chromosome. Every man in this room, you got an X and a Y. Okay? Our beautiful ladies, you only have an X and an X. So this is the best part of the whole day. You ready? We're ending on a bang. In order to make my daughter, Evangeline Elizabeth Haywood, my wife, who only has two X's, passed her X down into Evie. I have an X and I have a Y. I happened to pass an X to this egg and sperm as well. My X, Emmy's X, XX, my daughter was born female. Well, guess what? If the Bible had said that God made woman first and took man out of woman, it ain't possible. You can't get Y out of a woman. She's XX. Even the biblical fact that God said he took the man, who's XY, and took woman out of him and made a woman is beautiful science. But here's the problem. He took the X out of Adam and put it inside of Eve, and in order to make female, you need another X. So who passed the other X? Inside the Godhead is the feminine. Have you ever seen the creation of the living God? You ever seen a sunset? Oh, baby. You ever seen the wind move through the trees? You ever seen the ocean roar? Woo! Talk about romance. Talk about mystery. Oh, talk about driving you crazy. It's all inside the living God. Male and female inside of him. The other X came from the living God. It says in the word, he made them male and female in his image. Thank you, Jesus. If you've been listening to men your whole life say that they're the ones who represent God, wrong. Welcome to your liberation. There were, 150 years ago, true story, this pulpit, we love this pulpit because 150 years ago, they preached that God had made every man equal. They defected from Virginia to say, we're a part of the North. Guess what? 100 miles south of here, people were preaching, slaves obey your masters. It's in the Bible. Yeah, it is in the Bible because God didn't want every single one of them to get killed. But it also says that he created them. In Christ, there is no male or female. In Christ, there is no Greek or Jew. There is no slave or free. And this pulpit stood for freedom and equality, and it still does today. Thank you, King. Thank you, Lord. So we have to walk in this, ladies. Half of our problem in society, believe it or not, is that you've believed us when we lied to you. I need you to reject every lie. I need you to walk around and say, Lord, what are my dreams? I ain't some subservient helper. I'm a life-saving equal. What did you put inside of me that the brothers and the fathers and the friends in her life need to make sure comes to pass? What a perfect day, because we'll walk outside and say, where would you like to eat? It's Mother's Day. Or, can I make you a sandwich, right? Don't let this be one day a year. Walk in this freedom. Stand with me, if you will. On this Mother's Day, if you had a beautiful relationship with another human being called mother, you may not have. If you had a woman in your life who loved you and cared for you and held you and nurtured you and gave herself to your fulfillment, she was actually reflecting who God is to you. Because inside of God are male and female. If you had a nurturer, if you had a comforter, we know the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. In fact, we know that Jesus wept over Jerusalem and said, I long to gather you under my arms like a mother hen. That word is a feminine word in the Greek. He longed to gather them under his arms. Because inside of our King is male and female. The beauty and the depth and the strength that only a woman can bring. And all of the power submitted to love that a man should be. It's one reason I love you, for who you are. Proud of you, brother. Friends, some of you had a horrible mom. Some of you had an abusive mom. Maybe your mom died when you're 5 years old. You feel abandoned. Maybe she rejected who you are. So get lost. I don't want to ever see you again. Maybe you didn't even have this beautiful comfort. Maybe you're a mom. Maybe your children have said, no way, I don't want that. I don't want what you are. And you feel that pain in your heart. Friends, what are we coming here week in and week out if this isn't a place to come put those things on the altar, to let the living God comfort us, and to walk away from this place without them on our shoulders anymore? If you're going to be praying, will you come join me up here? I'm not inviting you today, I'm urging you. If you experienced any of these things, please come forward confidentially. We want to support you. We want to be a life-saving equal with you. We don't want you to have all the fun. And maybe you don't even know this crazy living God who stands for equality, this crazy living God who frees people with grace. Maybe you don't know the God yet of Francis Jean. We're inviting you up here. Give your heart to him. You've never, ever been safer in your whole life than with him surrounding you. as the Azer he is. Lord Jesus, we give you this day. We ask that it would not be one day, but our lives would walk in this new path, in this understanding. Lord, I ask you to anoint every woman to understand the power that she is to walk in, and anoint every man in humility to open his heart and open his ears and to submit to the word of God, to not be a leader who has power over, but to be a leader who would go to the death. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and even gave himself for her. Make us better men, Lord. Make us like you. And we ask that you continue to free the beautiful women in our lives with your beautiful grace. In Jesus' name, again, I urge you, come forward. Lay those burdens down at this altar. Don't go home with them today. That's our gift to you this Mother's Day. We love you. Happy Mother's Day.